Welcome to the St. Mark's Lutheran Church by the Narrows podcast channel. The sermon you are about to hear is from our worship service on March 17th, 2024. For more information about the community and ministries of St. Mark's, you can visit our website, smlutheran.org. There you will find the full online worship service from which this sermon is taken. And if you would like to contribute financially to help sustain the ministries at St. Mark's, you'll find information on how to do that there as well. And now, here's Pastor Siggy Helgeson with a gospel reading.
The gospel for this morning is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Perhaps those words sounded very familiar to you when we heard the psalm being read. I knew those words by heart as I learned them from an early age. I remember sitting in church, being told to sit as quietly as possible as a little girl, in the pew with my mother and siblings, you know, smelling all those church smells, that kind of library scent of old books, Bibles, and hymnals, the scent of the candles burning, and the smell of wine on my mother's breath after taking communion, the sounds of the organ and the liturgy being sung every Sunday. I can still hear it. And in the liturgy, singing along with my mother and the rest of the church that we just knew by heart, and responding to my dad, the pastor, who led us with these words from Psalm 51. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." It was one of those parts of the sung liturgy that was just imprinted on my early childhood brain and heart. Well, perhaps you had a similar experience. The faith was not only proclaimed and sung, but became imprinted on our hearts. And although as a little girl, I wasn't sure exactly what I was singing about. A clean heart? Could a heart be dirty? You know, I didn't know that this Psalm 51 was attributed to King David, who had just been called out by the prophet Nathan for his affair with Bathsheba. He was confessing his sins to God, asking God to cleanse him, wash him clean, to restore him. I didn't know any of that. All I knew is that I was singing along with the faithful and that I too wanted a clean heart. Well, it isn't always the case, but today in all three of the readings, I see a connection, a through line about the heart, beginning with this Psalm of David, this Psalm of Confession, and running through Jeremiah, where the word is written on our hearts, and then landing with the story from John's Gospel. When we turn to Jeremiah, we see that he recalls the covenant that God had made with the people of Israel long ago, which they broke. And he uses heart language to describe now the new covenant that God is going to make with them, despite their turning away from God. God says, "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people." I will write it on their hearts, not simply on a stone tablet, but upon their hearts. The use of that word, heart, is just used hundreds of times in the Bible, both in the Greek New Testament and in the Hebrew Bible. And so the heart is usually referring to as a place of emotional and intellectual and moral life. It's here that the prophet says that God's promises are written to hold and shape and challenge and encourage every part of our human experience. You know, hearts are also living. They are flesh, and they are vulnerable, fragile. Hearts can be broken. Hearts can get dirty. Hearts need cleaning. Hearts need healing. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." As we turn to the gospel lesson, we see now this new covenant talked about in Jeremiah, that God is writing on their hearts. It's a theme carried through now with the coming of Jesus. And here we get a glimpse of God's own heart, God's continued love for his people, and his love beyond to include the whole world. We heard just last week in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Perhaps another scripture that we may know by heart. But it's also followed by verse 17. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And then in today's gospel lesson, we see that love of God demonstrated in Jesus as he is now entering into Jerusalem, where he will be lifted up and draw all people to himself, including the Greeks, those outsiders who wish to see Jesus, who ask to see Jesus. And it seems like when Jesus enters Jerusalem, crowds are just gathering around him. They want to see Jesus. And the Pharisees even bemoan the fact that they've just lost. They've lost the battle because the whole world has come to see Jesus. Well, what is this attraction that Jesus has, that he is drawing such crowds? Is it his ability to heal, to wash clean, to mend broken hearts? "The hour has come," Jesus says, for the Son of Man to be glorified. And it's only a short time before Jesus will be lifted up on a cross to die for all to see. The cross, a cruel, torturous way to die, meant to demoralize one's enemy and be a warning to any who would dare to defy the Roman Empire, now becomes a means of glorification. In John's gospel, the crucifixion is when Jesus fulfills his mission of saving the world, and along with the resurrection and ascension, is lifted up. So in these last days of the Lenten season, we will now enter into Holy Week, beginning next week with Palm Sunday, and see Jesus go through a heart's journey of sorrow, of betrayal, of brokenness, of pain, and suffering. He will die, and he will be that seed planted in the ground, in the hearts of many, that will spring forth, that will bear fruit, that will be lifted up and rise again, who will draw all people to himself and create clean hearts, renew right spirits, and restore the joy of salvation to the whole world. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. During this Lenten season, we've been reading about practicing forgiveness, getting our hearts right by forgiving others and receiving forgiveness for ourselves. And in our devotional reading, this last week's focus was on forgiving ourselves, letting go of the past things that we have done or left undone. And that was one way to think about being forgiven. But there was also another way to think about forgiveness for ourselves, and that was to let go of the need to be perfect, or holding ourselves to a standard that we can never meet. And if you've been reading the devotional, you read about the stories of people being able to do that, and by doing so, being forgiven, being able to forgive others. Well, in our class this week, we talked about how sometimes those standards can also be imprinted in our hearts, could be reinforced by our upbringing. Even in our church and our faith experience. I mean, if we pictured God as an angry judge, or were taught that we'd be punished by God if we did something wrong or acted a certain way, that sin would be a block to God's love, then it would be hard. It would be hard for us to be able to let go of that and forgive ourselves. And Scott Stoner wrote about this, his own experience with perfectionism, and he said, "I learned in midlife that perfectionism is rooted in a lack of self-love, that as a child of God, I am already loved for simply being who I am. I don't need to earn that love and acceptance, and I can't do anything to lose it." Well, I thought about that the past weekend when we were on our women's retreat, and many of you were able to be a part of that women's retreat, and our theme was beloved. And we explored many ways that we are beloved children of God. And we were asked to share about a woman who had influenced us in learning about that we were beloved. And I immediately thought about my mom. She sprung to mind. And it ties in with a story about forgiveness. Indulge me for just a minute to share this story. I was maybe about 5, and I was having a tea party with my best friend, Heidi, same age. It wasn't hot tea. I want to just say that right now. But imagine two little girls having a little tea party, and all is well, until one of them, me, decided it would be funny if I just threw my tea at my friend. Well, she didn't think it was so funny, and she was quite shocked and went to tell her mom. And then my mom came in, and she made me take off my shirt to give to Heidi, whose shirt was soaking wet. And I felt bad, and I started crying. I was just feeling so naughty. And I began to run laps around our house. I remember den, living room, kitchen, dining room. I can just see it. And I did that a couple times before my mother finally intervened. And she just stopped. She stopped me, and she held out her hands, and she just hugged me. And she just said, "Siggy, I love you." And that was it. And I knew I was loved, no matter what I had done. It still touched me today. To know that I was loved, I needed to be reminded of that. And maybe we all do. You know, maybe sometimes we just go through life and we're just sort of running these laps and trying to avoid whatever we're trying to avoid, whatever it is we're running from. And there is God with arms outstretched, just like a mother, ready to enfold us in her arms and say, "I love you. I love you." And isn't it great to know, to be reminded that we can be imperfect, we can be in need of healing, and to come with our burdens and our guilt and to give it to God and to have our hearts cleaned, forgiven, and our spirits renewed by God's love. So I want to leave you today with this question about how is your heart? How is your heart today? Is it heavy with guilt? Is it hardened with resentment? Is it in need of washing? Is it in need of healing? Is it broken? Is it broken open and ready to receive God's forgiveness and love? Well, take a moment to just check in with your heart. If you wish to do so, place your hand on your heart and just feel it beating within you. God's covenant is written there on your heart. God, who loves you, who will not hold any sin against you, but sends Jesus to be the love that forgives and cleanses and renews. And now I want to invite you to look at the cross. Look at the cross with the heart right there at its center. Look to the one who calls us beloved, who forgives us, who wipes us clean, who was lifted up and draws us to himself with love. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May it be so. Amen.
You've been listening to the St. Mark's Lutheran Church by the Narrows podcast channel. Thanks for joining us.